thinking we should just keep everybody in here today. You gotta let my grandson teach next week. Amen. Every now and then, grandson, when I hand this building over to you or wherever we're at and I hand it over to you, you're going to understand that sometimes right there in the midst of things, Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you. And despite whatever we want to do, we have to go by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Amen. Beloved, today, before I actually get in today's sermon, I want to talk to you about a word that God put on my heart to share with you. Amen. It's good to see Sister Arnell in the house. Amen. 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 It's good to see Sister Tammy in the house. Amen. My awesome, awesome husband. Amen. I want to talk to you real quickly about this word that God put on my heart to share with you. And the reason that he put this word on my heart and the reason that he wants me to talk to you about it briefly today is because this word will be some of us in this room, it will be our biggest enemy in this season. Once I share what this word is and I explain this word to you and how the enemy has been dog walking many of us through this word, you will agree with me that this word has been active in many of our lives for some time now. The word that I'm speaking of is conditioning. And the definition that I found for the word conditioning says, conditioning is the process of training or influencing a person or animal mentally so that they do or expect a particular thing without thinking a thing about it. Let me read that again. The process of training or influencing a person. Let's leave it there. Influencing a person mentally so that they do or expect a particular thing without thinking about it. Now this word and definition is so deep and is about to become even deeper because my prayer is that after today, every time conditioning begins to rear its head in your life and try to sabotage your new training, you will see it for what it is. See, there are members here at Growth Temple that have been a victim of conditioning. And there may be some visitors that may or may not have been here before, but we might have some visitors here looking for a church home, and there's a good chance that you've been a victim of conditioning as well. And whether you're a visitor or a member, some of you made serious New Year's Eve resolutions, and you put it high on your list that you're going to start going to church and that you're going to get closer to God this year. And if that's you, praise God. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you for even wanting the new change in your life. But I want to warn you that goal will be easier said than done. And there's a few reasons why, especially if you are a member or are considering becoming a member here at Growth Temple. And I say that because here at Growth Temple, all of our pastors and ministers in training teach the word. We preach a sound biblical word and we preach it unapologetically. And not only do we preach it, we expect to see fruit from the ground that we sow word into. In other words, we ain't up here just to be up here. We want to see the word take root in your life and begin to grow you for the better. And as a result, your entire world begins to change as well. Here lies the problem with that vision and desire. Bad conditioning is a subtle tool that the enemy has used to block the growth of many people so cold and so smooth that it has actually either kept people from going to church at all, or it has kept people handcuffed to churches whose standard of holiness is not in alignment or the same as the standard of God himself. And so as a consequence, millions of people go to church every Sunday and still live a life of sin, feeling no conviction, no guilt, and will catch a cold chip if you try to tell them, even in love, the way the Bible feels about their lifestyle. Conditioning will say, y'all just being judgmental. Conditioning will say, we think we better than. Conditioning will say, my mama did it this way and my granny rocked like this and they was okay. And to all of our defense in the room today, when conditioning rises up against true biblical teaching, we're not intentionally combating what we are being taught. It's literally what we've been taught, what we've believed, what we've rocked with for so long that it's really how we feel. And changing what we have believed or how we have felt for years is a hard thing to do. When no matter how, no matter how the way that we think has crippled us, we've become, get this, used to it. So with all of that being said, if you are a member here at Growth, you already know how we get down. And if you are a visitor and starting this first Sunday of the new year, since you've committed or vowed or made a resolution to get deeper concerning the things of God, when you hear something that might sting you, offend you, or rub you wrong, before you decide that you're leaving or are going to tune me out for the rest of the service, or once you leave, I ain't never coming back. Before all of that, please, this is what I ask you to do. Make a note of what has upset you. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about it after service. Or you can, and my phone number is in the notes. You can text me at 859-285-3936, or you can email me at pastor@gtmlex.org. It's in the notes, and we can talk about it. Let's not let the enemy win this year with that old age weapon called conditioning. I didn't think that was going to go over too popular. Today we are, well, I should say it like this, over the last 9 years since Growth Temple Ministries merged with the Liberty Worship Center to become the Unity Worship Center, then ultimately being renamed back to Growth Temple Ministries, I have been trying to explain our identity. Over 10 times, I used a particular text to convey my thinking, thank you, which most of you know was the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. Over several fasts that we have had here at this church, I would suggest that all who were fasting read the book of Acts in hopes that with the few that were fasting, it would hit home and we would know our mission. It never worked. And God showed me that it never worked because, first off, the fasts were never taking as seriously as they should have been. And we had people who were claiming to fast that really wasn't. And since they weren't fasting, they most definitely wasn't reading the book of Acts. Something was crazy about this fast that we just came off of. I got the strong impression that people was living this life for real. And then people will sit back and talk about some of the passages that they had read in the book of Acts, which let us know, okay, this time this is really going down. And so for us faithful few that was fasting and reading, we were so busy fighting the demons in the church that we never got the chance to slay demons outside of the church. Thus, in a way, we had failed the city of Lexington. And some of you may be wondering, how did we fail the city of Lexington? Let me explain. With everything in me, for years, I have believed in my heart that this ministry, our ministry, has been called to confront the kingdom of darkness in this city and play a major part in setting the captives free. But through strategic demonic moves, the enemy was able to stifle the true mission of God that God had planned for this church. And there were things that happened privately as well as publicly that would have destroyed any other ministry, but God kept his hand on us despite us. Amen? And 3 weeks ago, the Lord put it on my heart to call a fast. And then that call to fast was confirmed by Apostle John, and while we were working on a fundraiser video for this church. And later that night, it was confirmed even more when I ran across a sermon video for the second time that was entitled "So We Fasted" by Pastor Philip Anthony Mitchell of the 2819 Church. And so that following Sunday, I called a fast, but this time it was done strategically. I didn't call the fast and we have to walk into it the next day like I used to do. No. I called the fast and gave the church 2 weeks to prepare. I went on our Facebook page and said, if you plan to fast, whether completely or partially, comment below. And almost everybody commented. Some didn't comment on the post, but reached out to me personally. And that's how we ended up with, I think it was 34 people committing to a 3-day fast of and had the option to have fruits and vegetables, but the majority of those fasting said, nah, we're just going to stick with the water. And I know for some of us, we don't think that 3 days is a serious amount of time, but God had told me that even though it was just for 3 days, it will be a rough 3 days, even for our partial fasters, because there was so much on the line. And so for those of you that fasted with us last week, I'm sure you will agree that that 3-day fast was far more intense than any other of the other fasts that we had been a part of. And the reason for that was because, watch this, God had connected a heavy agenda to his fast. The result and the rewards, if the fast was kept and completed, were going to be crazy, mad crazy. Also, the enemy, watch this, had gotten wind of the fact that we were going to fast. See, I need you to understand, Satan can't be everywhere at every time because he's not like God. He's not omnipresent. And omnipresent simply means being present everywhere at once. I want you to hear and catch this, for some of you, it will explain some things. Satan is not omnipresent. And a lot of times I hear people say crazy stuff like they have been trained to say by wrong church. Y'all gonna hear that a lot in 2026. They've been trained by wrong church. And as a consequence, people walk around ignorant to how things really work. Now, I want you to understand that when I say ignorant, I'm not insulting. I'm stating a fact, because ignorant doesn't mean stupid. You understand what I'm saying to you? Ignorant means a person who lacks knowledge, information, or awareness about a particular subject. So dig this. I'm ignorant when it comes to flying an airplane. Don't stay on the plane if you get on it and you see me at the helm. It would be wise of you to get off. Amen. I am ignorant when it comes to algebra and calculus. I'm ignorant when it comes to a lot of things. But the good thing is that whatever we are ignorant about, ignorance can be remedied with knowledge. I can go to flight school and then learn how to fly that plane. I can take some classes and some night classes and learn algebra and calculus. And for those of us who are ignorant to the things of God, we can study to show ourselves approved unto God and actually know the Bible for yourself. Let me tell you something. That is the greatest investment that you could ever invest in, is your time in learning the word of God. Ignorance, watch this, can always be remedied with knowledge. So again, Satan cannot be everywhere at every time. And something that people say all the time couldn't be further from the truth. And that stuff like, Satan is really trying me today. Let me be very clear with you today. Satan is not who is trying you. There are levels to this spiritual, supernatural warfare. Let me make it plain. When a boxer, you know, Kevin and I, we deep off into the boxing. When a boxer begins their pro boxing career, they don't just automatically get to fight the champ. They have to go through the ranks before they get a title shot. They have to prove themselves. In that way, it's that way in the supernatural when it comes to supernatural warfare. The enemy has something called demons, imps, and jinns. And let me just go ahead and tell you, baby, and I ain't knocking nobody that didn't fast and don't fast and all of that. But let me tell you something. If you can't fast, Satan ain't coming for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you ain't got a prayer life, if you ain't got a prayer life, Satan ain't coming for you. If you don't have a devotional life where you're reading your Bible at least, you know, once a day, I don't care if it's just 10 minutes, baby, Satan is not coming at, there is levels to this. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I don't know about anybody else, but people thought I was crazy when about a year ago, I said, I don't want another demon in my life. And everybody, amen, I don't want no, no. I'm not saying I don't want to, what I'm saying is I find demons to be petty. In other words, I want to be living my life so for God that Satan himself has to come take a look at me. Think about what I just said. We should be wanting to live so for God that Satan goes, this is bigger than you. Let me go down there and see what's going on. So some of you are saying, why is he saying down there? I'm saying down there because Satan is in a heaven, not under your feet. So it's a crazy, wild ideology. You know, I've been to churches, Sonia, where people will say, just go ahead and stomp the devil. All you're doing is messing up your shoes. Satan ain't, you're going to hurt your foot. He is not under the ground. Amen. How do you know that, Pastor? Because if you remember in the book of Daniel, I believe it was chapter 10, it's where the Daniel fasted a birth from. You understand what I'm saying to you? And Daniel was having, he had a dream and he was having an issue with the dream because he could not make it out. And he said, I will eat no pleasant thing until this thing is figured out. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so 3 weeks passes by and the angel, thank you so much, the angel of the Lord comes down and he spoke to Daniel, and he's like, Daniel, chill, it's me, I'm with God. And he says, I want you to catch this, and this ought to make some of you excited. He said, we heard you when you first cried out. Why should that make you excited? Because some of you have cried out about some things. Some of you have been crying out about some things for years now, and you and ain't nothing got better, and you think God ain't heard you, and you concerned that it's going to always be this way. But baby, the angel said, we heard you when you first cry. Is it anybody in the building that's cried out that might not have received an answer yet? Can I just go ahead and tell you to hold on? He heard you when you first. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. The book of Daniel chapter 10, the angel says, we heard you when you first cried out. But watch this. He said, the prince of Persia withheld me. In other words, he said, the devil got in my way. Can I just go ahead and tell you that some of you have been crying out and you haven't had a response because what you're crying out is about is so heavy that the enemy knows that if he lets the angels get down to you and get to help you on that behalf, that you will be a problem for the kingdom of darkness. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. God heard you when you first cried out. Satan is not, he's not under our feet. And I can prove it because understand this. So, you know, you've got, when people say stuff like he's in seventh heaven, I don't know what that is. I've only seen three of them. You understand what I'm saying to you? And that's when you see the birds in the air flying around, you understand that's a heaven. Above that heaven, we believe to be the kingdom of darkness. Above that heaven, we believe that it is the kingdom of God. Peep game, I can show you this. So he says, we heard you when you first cried out, but the prince of Persia withheld me. Do you want, watch, oh Lord, have mercy. When God said, go, and the angel began to dip down, headed to the earth realm to deal with Daniel, he got stopped where? Well, he didn't get stopped above him because he had to go down to get to him. Lord, have mercy. And that's where the warfare took place, in the second heaven. So when you get around these preachers that get to, and yeah, all right, and stomp the devil's head, you pay too much money for your shoes to be messing them up like that. So I want to show you something. Can I take it a little bit deeper? In fact, there is a demonic hierarchy, and this is its order, and I put it on your papers. You've got the supreme ruler, Lucifer, Satan, the ultimate authority. Then you've got the inner circle, often includes Beelzebub and prince of flies, lord of spirits and lust, ruling alongside Satan. Third, you've got the prince or the kings of hell, immensely powerful demons, often representing the seven deadly sins. Then you've got the high demons, the 72 jinn or powerful rulers of nations and cities. Do you understand that? That there are demons that are actually rulers over cities. Can I just go ahead and bust your bubble about the city of Lexington? When I was in prison fighting my case, in Louisville, where I was fighting my 20 to life, we would have Bible study five times a week. Somebody from some church, some denomination was coming to teach us the word of God. Five times a week easily, not to mention that we had Bible study every night in our cell. But when they moved me to Lexington to fight my 10 flat case, you understand what I'm saying to you? I sat there for 8 months before anybody came to see me. And then when they sent somebody, it was somebody who said, after he said two or three things, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, but that just ain't right. And I love these cats. You can't be just telling them anything. And he said, you teach the Bible study from now on. I thought he was being smart, but I did it anyway. And then the next week, guess what? He comes back. The Lord stands in heaven as my witness. He comes back, sits down in the class and says, go ahead, Brother Lyons. And he began to take notes. I want you to understand. So I asked somebody, I said, how is it that I could be in jail and go to church five times a week, every week? But when I get to Lexington and we don't have no Christian representation walking in the jail. And my spiritual father said, because there is a hovering over the city. There is a demonic hovering over the city. You understand what I'm saying to you? And because of that hovering, watch this, it blocks, it comes up against, it strategizes against anybody that's trying to take the kingdom of God to the next level in this city. Let me finish this thing and then we'll get back to it. Then number five, you got the throne demons or dominion demons, princes of specific cities or types of demons. Six, you have principalities, demons ruling regions and or major areas. Seven, you got power demons. These are the demons that rule individual infestations or lower level territories. So you ever see how crazy it is in the projects? Anybody from the projects in here? I'm from the projects, amen, and I'm proud of it. But if you ever lived in the projects, which you always, we talked about it when we lived in the west side of Louisville, when we were living in Louisville, the west side always seemed dim. It always seemed a little darker. But when we would go out to St. Matthew's, you understand what I'm saying to you? When we go out to Lively Shively, you understand what I'm saying to you? Then it would always be so much brighter. But let me tell you something, beloved. I've been to many cities in the United States, and I love me some projects. And I always go to the projects, but it's always dimmer in the projects. You understand what I'm saying to you? And now I understand why. Because that's where the demons rule the lower level territory. Man, y'all ain't hearing me in here. Why do you think it's so much murder in the projects? Why do you think it's so much murder in the hoods? Why do you think it's so much murder in the trailer parks? Why do you think and we say stuff like, oh, it's because everybody's struggling and they just having a hard time and they just acting out. No, that's what Satan wants you to believe. There was a movie called The Devil's Advocate where Al Pacino played the devil, and he said something that was powerful. He said, my greatest trick was convincing the world that I don't exist. It's the music. It ain't Satan. Blame it on the alcohol. It ain't Satan. Everything but Satan. And if we believe that it's ADHD, it ain't Satan. And as long as we can put a title on it, you understand what I'm saying to you? We have no need to talk about the necessity of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Number eight. The lesser demons, a vast army of various ranks from dukes on down to common legions. And in number three, I want you to look at number three. It's in your notes. Number three, you see it says immensely powerful demons, often representing the seven deadly sins. And those seven deadly sins are for my note takers. The first one is pride, vainglory. An excessive view of oneself without regard for others, often considered the root of all other sins. Greed, an excessive and selfish pursuit or desire for material goods, wealth, or power. Lust, a fornication, a disordered and intense longing or passion primarily for illicit sexual desires that reduces people to objects. We got babies in the house. Envy, a selfish sadness or intense desire to have an item, quality, or advantage that someone else has. Gluttony, an excessive and ongoing overindulgence in food, drink, or anything consumed to excess beyond what is needed. Wrath, anger, a strong, uncontrolled anger or hate that desires vengeance and lashes out in destructive ways. And then there's sloth, excessive laziness or spiritual apathy, a failure to act and utilize one's talents, or a weariness about spiritual good. Now, some of you may be saying, what does this have to do with the book of Acts? And the answer is nothing. but these things you need to know, and I'm building my way to Acts. You need to know the hierarchy of the kingdom of darkness so that you can identify who's attacking you when you find yourself under demonic attack. See, it's deep. I was on the phone with somebody last week, and they kept saying, such and such keeps trying me, and such keeps trying me. I said, bro, hold on for a second. It ain't him. The Bible says that we don't war against flesh and blood. So it's not who you see that's actually giving you the issues. It's what's on who you see that's giving you the issues. You gotta know. You gotta know if you're gonna walk this kingdom walk successfully. You've got to know who it is that's coming up against you. And let me just go ahead and warn you now. If you are a member of Growth Temple Ministries or plan to be a member here, you better know that you are going to be under attack. And the reason that is because Satan will always go to war where it is worth it. He will always try to bomb out anything and anyone that is a threat to his kingdom. And you need to know if you are or have been operating in one or more of these seven deadly sins. See, a lot of us are rock with pride and don't even know that's what's hurting us. Huh? Some of us, you know, people can tell you, that's a hater. No, that's an envious person. They don't hate you. They just want what you got. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, you got to know what's coming up against you so you know how to warfare against it. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, so get this. And why? Because if you aren't doing it because you want to, you're doing it because you're being demonically influenced by the Spirit. Look back at number three. The princes or kings of hell. Anybody in here, real talk, anybody in here ever ask yourself a question when you got to, by yourself, something just went real bad, right? And you knew it was your fault. You know you did it. And you got to yourself and you was like, man, what is wrong with me? Am I the only one? And the thing is, we really mean it, right? Because for whatever reason, we keep coming up short. We keep going through it. And we're trying to figure out, man, what is going on here? I think you remember in the book of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul went through this very thing. He says, what I want to do, I don't do. What I should do, I don't do. What I hate to do is the exact thing that I'm doing. So I'm starting to understand that if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's really not me, but the sin that is still in me. Let me tell you something. When I was in the Louisville jail when I first got saved and I began to read Paul, I could see it, right? Like I would sit back and say stuff. I could see Paul in Romans 7 just saying, like, what is wrong? You know, they was talking in biblical terms. What is wrong with thou? Why does thou continuest to do this mess? you ever been put in a situation where you ain't got nobody to deal with but you? You ain't got nobody else to blame but you? Huh? Let me tell you something. It's a many a night. This good woman, oh God, y'all should just give her gifts every day. Lord have mercy. There's times we'll be arguing, and I know I'm wrong. But I refuse to give her way. Amen. And I know, y'all act like y'all ain't never done this. And I know the argument is getting ready to get real serious. But the more serious it gets to getting, I've got to dig in deeper. Am I by myself? Let me just talk to my man in here because y'all, women, you ever start some stuff or be wrong in some stuff? And then go in your cave and you're sitting there looking silly. We were supposed to watch a movie, you know, Netflix and chill. That's what the young folks say. We were supposed to Netflix and chill. Popcorn, you smell the popcorn in your cave, but you can't go get none because you're sitting in your cave and you're going, man, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And we laugh, right? But the reality is, there's an influence. And the reason we can't combat it is because we don't know what it is. See, that's the powerful part. That's the powerful thing about being in that Word of God is that he begins to give you wisdom on where the enemy is. You understand what I'm saying to you? But watch this. But if you call yourself saved, but you won't learn his word, then you the enemy to yourself.
Oh God.
Sometimes Satan, I call him throw traps. Satan just be like, you know, I swear to God, he'd just be like,
that'll hold him for 10 years.
Am I lying about it? You ever dealt with a situation? Come on, you ever dealt with a situation again and again and again and again? Somebody say throw trap. It's a throw trap.
Now I'm gonna need you to get that because I can't. Appreciate it. But I don't hit the ground and be on somebody's Facebook page before I get home.
Listen. See, you can't defend yourself, watch this, or your family from a threat that you don't know exists. You feel me? In fact, the Bible says, my people perish for the lack of what? Knowledge. And what is a lack of knowledge? Ignorance. And how is ignorance remedied? With knowledge. Amen. So the Lord had me call the fast. And this time, people who had never before committed to a fast got involved. And they were serious in their hearts about finishing the fast. The lesser demons, watch this, I'm telling you how this happened. The lesser demons, see the chart for number 8. The lesser demons are described as spiritual forces of evil who engage in a war against believers. They propagate false doctrines, spread lies, and tempt humans to sin and doubt. See, the enemy would have you believe that something's just wrong with you. You ever been in that place where you just, but it isn't. It's that you have an enemy that you have allowed too much influence over your life. Amen? So when we talk about the lesser demons, these are the petty demons. But because we aren't hip to them, they are far more powerful than they should be. Stay with me. The lesser demons often do what's called in the military guard duty. And when they seen that some of you who had never fasted before took on the fast and was serious about it, they took that information up the ranks. And here's where it got deep. Some of you think that because for most of our lives we've been a mess, that for most of our lives we've made bad decisions and we've dropped the ball for most of our lives when it mattered most, those demons have convinced us that we have no real spiritual value. You ever been so, do you remember that cry that you cried when you felt like God didn't even want me? Not because God wasn't faithful, not because God breaks promises, but because you know where you've been. You know what you've done. And Satan gets in your head and says stuff like, demons get in your head and say stuff like, now God ain't gonna forgive that. You don't really believe God gonna forgive that, do you? And so when we get to that place in our life, we have no spiritual value. But I promise you, beloved, despite our failures, despite our mess ups, despite our bad decisions, we are still valuable in the eyes of God. And if we keep it all the way real, it's our failures, it's our mess ups, it's our past foolishness that makes us so valuable to the kingdom of God, so deadly towards the kingdom of darkness. See, Satan understands that if we were to ever come into the knowledge of who we really are in the blood of Jesus Christ, we would change the game. I mean, who better to lead a drug dealer out of the game than an ex-drug dealer who's been delivered by the blood of the Lamb? Who's better to talk to us? Who's better to talk a stripper off the pole than an ex-stripper that's been delivered from stripping by the blood of the Lamb? Who is better to talk to bring an addict off heroin and crack cocaine than an ex-addict who's been delivered by the blood of the Lamb? Y'all ain't hearing me in here today. Satan knows your worth, and that's why he keeps coming for you. He knows your worth better than you. I said this in our leadership meeting yesterday. One of the quotes I said is that if we ever valued ourselves as Satan values us, we would change everything around. Do you know that Satan sees your value? Is there anybody in the building that say, every time I turn around, it seems like I'm going through something else? It's not a coincidence, beloved. What was her name? Jada. She called it great. That's why he keeps you entangled. Every time I turn around, it's this. Every time I turn around, it's that. I ain't got enough money to pay this. Got to work overtime to go get that. Got to this. Got to that. Got to that. And as long as you are entangled, you never have the time to figure out who you are in him. So you out here trying to make ways that you wasn't built to make. That was for the one that makes ways out of no way at all. Huh? So we started the fast, and immediately I knew that there was something different about this group of fasters. Now don't get it twisted. God showed me that there's some who committed didn't do it, but they just played like they did. But it didn't matter. The majority was about that life. Whether they messed up a time or two, they got up and kept pushing, and they made it. They made it through, and something shifted. But before the fast, God said, I want the people reading the book of Acts. But after the fast started, God said, Stephen, I want you to start this new season off in the book of Acts, the entire book. Even if it takes a year, year and a half, we won't deviate from it. Teach the book, God said. It's time Growth Temple sees what I'm trying to build through them. And so that's how this series was birthed, in the fast, in prayer. And beloved, I have to admit that I was a little shook about this, because I have never taught an entire book Sunday after Sunday. And I said, God, what if people get bored with me teaching the same book every Sunday? And Holy Spirit said, then let them walk. This is about growing my kingdom, not about appeasing people's flesh. And so here we are. Amen? Let's talk about the book of Acts. I'm going to let you go home. And let's get ready to learn and grow as a body of believers so that we can win the city of Lexington and surrounding counties for the kingdom's sake. So the book of Acts was written by a brother by the name of Luke. And Luke was a physician by trade. He was a doctor by trade. And this will prove to be important as we journey through the book, because there would be many instances where the apostles would be beaten to the point that medical attention would be necessary. Luke is also the writer of one of the gospels that is entitled the Gospel of Luke. And some theologians call the book of Acts the continuation of the book of Luke, okay? Because if you read the book of Luke and then go right into the book of Acts, it reads like he's just finishing the story that he started in Luke. I want you to catch this. The book of Acts is also known as the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. And all through this book, we're going to read how these regular but Holy Spirit-filled men led the charge to turn the world upside down. And I promise I'm already almost done for the day. So it's important to know that the apostles and other people of God were filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to carry out the Great Commission, which Jesus lets us know what that is in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And I'm first going to read it in the New King James Version. When he himself tells the disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. Now, you should have got excited right there. But I like how the New Living Translation says it, says verse number 19. It's the same as the New King James Version in verse number 19. I'm sorry, but verse 20 breaks it down a little better for me. Let's look at it. It says, therefore, in the New Living Translation, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's peep verse 20. Teach these new disciples. Do y'all hear me? Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. He says, be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of age. This is powerful because Jesus not only gives a command, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, but he also gives a promise. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, while the Great Commission was first given to the 11 apostles, it wasn't only for them, but is a mandate for all believers to participate in making disciples, baptizing and teaching. Though the way individuals fulfill the Great Commission varies. Some people, you know what I'm saying, do it like I'm doing it with local teaching. But then there's others that do it with global missions. The promise of Jesus' presence to the end of age lets us know that the mission continues beyond the apostles and to the entire church until the end of age. So he understood that life was going to be going on past the apostles' lifetime. So that lets us know that this Great Commission, this making of disciples, was not just their responsibility, but it's our responsibility. Now, let me deal with that for a second. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Some of you have been trying to figure out, if we just being real in here, some of you wake up every day going, I don't even know how I'm still alive. With all that I've been through, 20 years ago should have killed me. 15 years ago should have took me out. A year and a half ago, I should have lost my mind. But the reason God kept us, you understand what I'm saying to you? The reason that he didn't let me do 20 to life and 10 flat in penitentiary, the reason why he didn't let you die to the overdose, the reason that he didn't let you crash your car while you was in a drunken stupor riding around, was because he had destiny connected to your life, because he knew one day he was going to clean you up and you would be a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. So watch this. God says, I ain't looking for cats walking around in suits and females walking around in nice, beautiful little dresses. Ain't nothing wrong with all of that. But I need somebody that can go in the trenches and be accepted. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? I need somebody that used to smoke weed to go talk to the weed smoker and say, this ain't where it's at. I need somebody that used to venture the liquor store and wouldn't venture church that can go talk to the one that's drinking like a fish and say, this ain't where it's at. I need somebody with some credibility so that they can be effective for my name's sake.
Lord, have mercy.
In this book, watch this, we're almost done. In this book, we're going to see how the gospel is not just for a sect of people. Mm-hmm. Meaning, it is not just for the Jews, but this message, this good news is for the Gentiles as well. And when I speak of Gentiles, in this instance, Gentiles means those that are not Jews. It's in your notes. Now, what I plan to do all through this book is teach you words that we don't use every day. Amen? And so I never want to just assume somebody knows this, that, or the other. You understand where I'm coming from. And the reason why I said the word Gentiles is used this way, come on back, back over here, up front. Here we go. It's a baby crying. We done all heard it before. Come on, stay focused. And so when I say a Gentile used in this sense, is because the Aramaic language is so rich that the word Gentile could mean two or three different things, all according to how you were using it. So in this instance, Gentile simply means those that are not Jews. So we understand God's love and mercy reaches out to all people. God does not operate in favoritism. He's down to see everyone spend eternity with him, and I can prove it. John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you catch that? For God so loved the world. Now, when we see the word world, the most common meaning for the world in John is created, means fallen totality of mankind. That's what he's talking about in the world. when he says the world. This is the way. John is using the word world here. It's the great mass of fallen humanity that needs salvation. It's the countless number of perishing people from whom the whoever's come in the second part of the verse. Look at that. That whoever believes in him should not perish. Man, the world is a gang of dying sinners from whom the whoever in this verse is. So if you are a whoever that was just in sin last night, but you came to Jesus today, God says, cool, I'm not tripping on your past. And because you choose me now, you're saved. Oh, God, man, God is good. Ain't you glad that God don't keep score? Ain't you glad that God ain't got a statute of limitations? And Lord, have mercy that he doesn't say, nah, I can't let you in because you did too much. Ain't you glad that you serve a God that won't say something like, nah, I can't let you in because of who you did it with? Rather, God says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the New King James Version, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And ain't that dope? Ain't that all right? But listen to how he says it in the Message version. This blew my mind. He said, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You mean to tell me after all the dirt I done, on the strength that I'm connected to him, I get a fresh start? You mean to tell me after all the laying up, after all the smoking, after all the pistol popping, you mean to tell me that because I'm tied to him, I get a fresh, you mean to tell me my slate is wiped clean? Beloved, it means that your slate has been wiped clean. Now we look inside, and what we see is the one that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and a new life emerges. Anyone united with Jesus, despite how crazy your past was, look what it says. You get a fresh start. I'm going to stop right here for today. And next week, God willing, we're going to actually jump into chapter 1 of the book of Acts. And I want you to know that everything that was taught today was intentional. Here at Growth Temple, we are all about teaching the word of God and about the things of God. The time for playing church is done. The times of entertaining folk with the hooping and the hollering and putting on a show and is done. It's dead. We don't need that here. So this ain't the spot if that's what you own. But if you want to learn about God and the things of God and how to walk this thing out in victory, then we're your church. From the nursery to the children's church, from the children's church to the youth group, back to the sanctuary. We're teaching Jesus. Amen. We're teaching Jesus. And so if you are visiting for the first time today, or you've been coming for a few times and you're looking for a church home and you think we might be a good fit, we'd love to have you be a part of the family. We'd love to have you be a part of the family. Amen. So some of you might say, hey, let's check it out for a while before we do that. And that's cool too. If you're one of those people that are shy to come down in front of a lot of people, but you feel like you want to make this home, that's cool too. All you got to do is see Sister Glenda. Sister Glenda, put your hand in there. Amen. Sister, she's a little short. Y'all might not see that hand. Amen. In fact, by the end of service, she'll be standing. She'll be standing by the door, and she'll get your information, and I'll call you and welcome you into the family myself over the phone. We ain't got to make no big thing, amen. We ain't got to make no big thing out of this.